the ego within the human being is an inescapable reality, which is both an asset and a flaw. It is an asset when it gives one the positive self-image, which then helps to be a contributor in the world in which he or she lives. Without that self-image, there is the reluctance to share the gifts and talents which are there to be developed and given. Life then becomes a hidden treasure which otherwise could bring meaning and joy to others as well as the self. On the other hand, the negative side of the ego is when it is so enhanced that it brings one to a sense of superiority over everyone else. This is the person who sees themselves as always having the correct answer, does all the right things, thereby seeing everyone else as inferior and far less important in life. You know, they can do no wrong. The problem becomes that people with an over-inflated ego all too often become too much a part of our everyday lives. They find one way or another to take control. They achieve this by inflating themselves beyond all aspects of reality to the point of becoming superficial and even hypocritical. In doing this, they twist the truth about themselves, twist the truth about others and life in general. All too often for them, lies become truth, and truth are seen as lies. In doing this, they try to con others to buy into their false pride, their untruths, and overinflated ego. These people love to mask themselves to be something which they are not. They have done everything and know everything. Just ask them. Reality check. They never have done it, or do not really understand or know. In order to have done everything these people say they have done and know, everything they claim to know would mean that they have something in common with cats, for they have lived 9 lives. But to them, in order to make themselves look good in others' eyes, they have to inflate and even lie about what or who they really are. They present what they would like to be, and even believe it themselves rather than what is actual and reality. You know, this is the definition of being superficial. They think they are clever enough to fool those around them. But in reality, they are playing a game which only has losers. It's a fool's game, for they end up only fooling themselves. And you know, we see this. We see this in our everyday lives at one time or another. But you know, this is the kind of game that is even played within Christianity, within the church, and within every religion in general. Many play the superficial game of excelling in all the piety of external trappings and rituals, so so that others may be fooled to think how religious they are. Oh, they go to church. Oh, the liturgy is there, but it's an act of religiosity. They may even carry the Bible, using all the right words in the King James language. Yes, he played a superficial game. And the tragedy is that they come to believe that the superficial is the apparent or the truth. Therefore, that is what makes them Christian. But you know, Christianity is far worse than the false ego. And what is seemingly made up as being the apparent is far more than playing con games. It is far more than just going through the act of religious piety. In the lesson this evening, Isaiah makes it very clear about such acts of piety. He states how fasting can be so superficially carried forth. He states that the people question God about their fasting. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you did not notice? To these questions, Isaiah responds. Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. You know, the Jews fell into the trap of thinking that superficial acts of piety were the avenue to a relationship with God. What they liked to believe was only an apparent truth, and only an ego trip which was done to con others, to believe that they were something that they were not. Isaiah states that God cannot be conned. Matthew, in our gospel lesson, relates the same in relating Jesus' words. Beware. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. He then goes on to talk about the acts of giving, prayer, and fasting, which should not be outward acts of piety, so that others may heap praises upon you and build up your ego. My boy, I know one thing. Ministers can fall into this trap very easily. Now, you know, rather, the one who truly builds treasures in God's kingdom is the one who lives his or her relationship with God moment to moment, day in and day out. The one who truly lives this relationship does without regard of being noticed. Such quiet acts of faith build the only ego which is important. The ego which finds its worth and its joy and its satisfaction in being a child of God. Such an ego, such a life, has no room for superficiality, no room for the self-promoted, no room for the created apparent in life. Such an ego only knows that which is uplifting is found with and from a living relationship with God and His love. Isaiah there gives us further clues as to this life with God. He states that in order to be a child of God, one must go far beyond ritualistic piety. Like Jesus' message throughout the Gospels, Isaiah gives life beyond the superficial. He states, is not this the fast that I chose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the things of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you seek the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your kin. Isaiah and Jesus continually stressed that being a child of God meant getting beyond ritualistic piety, the piety of the sanctuary, into the sanctuary of quietly but effectively living one's faith in God's love. What we do here in this building is to express our thanksgiving to God and then to gain strength by sharing His presence and His word with each other. This is to find its fruition by living out God's love in the world in which we live. We become His children by reaching out and touching and loving all of His children. This Lent, we will revisit the Reformation during our Thursday evening gatherings. The Reformation gives us a clear view of how religious piety became the face of the corruption of the gospel. Hopefully, in our review this year, it will give us the insight into who we are today as the church within the turmoil of extremism and unrelenting egotism. Hopefully, this will free us in order to realize Isaiah's message. Then, let your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Or as Jesus promised, your father sees in secret, will reward you. Your father who sees in secret will reward you. To go beyond the superficial is to place the cross, symbolizing the living word of God through Jesus, in the center of our lives. To remind us of this message, we now place the cross prominently before us, and we will drape it in purple, symbolizing that He is Lord and King in our lives. Let this not be a superficial act, but a living recognition that God's love is alive and well in our lives. With that, shall now drape the cross in the purple of red. With that, let us now be reminded that Lent is that time of preparation
through the resurrection of